Wow, everything Kubernetes, infrastructure as code, open telemetry. It's been a KubeCon kind of week. You're watching Textron Gang. All right, we're back here, last day of Paris KubeCon. This is a special edition Textron Gang with a very special guest. Let me introduce you to Savannah Peterson.
Hey, fam. Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Savannah, thank you, man.
I feel very lucky to be starting the day.
First of all, it's good to have, like, I'm tired of doing it with just me, Mike, and Mitchell.
the gang is actually the wrong gang.
Yeah, we got a real gang this time. So it's Friday in Paris. It's Friday morning, a weekend in Paris. I don't know about you, but I'm staying.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm
looking forward.
This is the best excuse to come to Paris ever.
No doubt about it. Yeah. I wish, you know, maybe they should do it here every year.
I'd be okay.
Speaking about that, I'm hearing London in Europe next
year.
I believe that is.
Yeah.
So London's not bad. It's not Paris. But it's not bad.
A lovely city, but it will be less full of cheese and fantastic wine.
Yes. But it is better than Detroit.
Yes. Or Chicago.
Nothing against my friends in Detroit and Chicago.
No,
yeah. Yeah, there was some good music there. It's going to be interesting to see Blues. Salt Lake, because that Salt Lake is not.
I'm curious about that one.
Thought of as a
That's going to be an interesting.
Yeah, it's
going to
be in my backyard. I'm in Denver, so.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but it's a world away from Denver to Salt Lake.
Anyway, a lot of mountains between here.
Yeah, there's some mountains between there. Exactly. So, but let's talk. Let's talk KubeCon, Kubernetes. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is it is KubeCon. Is this kind of Kubernetes everywhere, right?
Yeah.
We're seeing Kubernetes on the edge, Kubernetes on bare metal, which has always been a thing, but now it's like people don't raise their eyebrow at it. They used to like, oh, you know, but now it's accepted.
Agree.
I'm wondering, what are you hearing, seeing, thinking about it?
Oh, it was interesting. We were talking to Priyanka earlier this week, and she, like many, are saying that Kubernetes is having its Linux moment. And I will say, you know, I started working with Kubernetes 4 years ago, and people were still establishing their container strategy. They didn't know what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
And now, I feel like we've all made a decision, or at least a lot of the companies here have, and particularly when we're talking about the AI stack. I think there's a lot of Kubernetes action.
There's going to be a lot going on there.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. I was speaking to Scott Johnston, CEO of
Docker. I chatted with him yesterday as well.
And
love Scott.
And we spoke about exactly that. So sort of when Docker made the realization that Kubernetes was going to be it, and they pivoted to like a very developer-led focus and what Docker is today, it's not the container, right? Although it is. But I mean, it is a Linux kind of moment for
Kubernetes. I think.
What does it mean, though, for people out here, right?
It's interesting. I think to that point is it's not just end users, practitioners adopting Kubernetes. All the providers, everybody's running Kubernetes underneath
their
whatever.
It's a great point.
Right?
Yeah.
It's part of the fabric of the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that knowledge and skill of operating Kubernetes and the complexity of it hopefully transforms to end users, practitioners using it to address the complexity issue. That's
always been the challenge.
Still an issue too.
And it still is.
Kubernetes is still hard as hell, man. I'm sorry to say, but
it's the truth.
We're seeing it on the edge in cars.
I was going to say, we've got a couple cars on the show floor. Mercedes is running Kubernetes over there.
And so it may be hard, but it's finding its way through.
Does that mean I need to pull over and add a few more clusters to my Kubernetes on my BMW so I can keep going here on the Autobahn?
Yeah.
How funny would that be?
I mean, it's not far off. You know?
There's a little bit of truth.
Exactly.
Every time my car is doing, like I get the message we're doing an auto update, I start thinking about that. Is it?
What version of Kubernetes
is
just came out?
Is it containers that they're doing?
What's going on with my K8s in this whip? Couple cylinders, my K8s.
Absolutely.
I'm waiting for the idiot like K8s come on the deck.
ding, ding.
I wanted to talk about bare metal, though, because I brought that up, too. Look, I remember almost from the very first KubeCon that I attended in Seattle, there were people running Kube on bare metal, but they were looked at as jerks. you know, quite frankly, right? They were like, what are you doing? Yeah, we're in the cloud, dude. These were people running, and I'm not going to mention their name, IBM, but, you know, they were running Kube on bare metal in traditional data centers. What was it, SoftLayer that they had bought?
Mm-hmm.
That was the SoftLayer, you know, a cloud native solution, run Kube on bare metal. But there was an audience for that. There were some people who really, for whatever reason, security, government regulation, did not want to be in a multi-tenant type of environment. And they ran, it was just more economical to run it on a bare metal individual physical server.
Right. But cost is a big thing here.
But now, I don't know if it's cost that's driving it or regulation compliance that's driving it, performance.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you talk, especially you find it when I'm talking to people about hybrid cloud Kubernetes deployments. Yes, you do get the multi-cloud folks, but you're getting that private, public cloud kind of, you know,
you
deployments.
Are.
And a lot of times that private cloud's bare metal. And now some of the bigger cloud guys are offering Kube on bare metal as well.
Mm-hmm. I also think the edge is a prime spot for it to become that way, because the edge, you want to reduce complexity, right? Simplicity and scalability. So is that a place we're going to see more bare metal, you know, inside the car, at the edge of the network, you know, in the data center at the
edge? I think we will.
All of that. So
I think you're absolutely right.
It makes sense.
It does make sense. And people need that at speed. We need things quick. We no latency when it comes to edge. And I think mm-hmm. you're absolutely right there.
So let me be the spoil sport here.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Right. So a little cold water.
Tell
on the
us.
What's next? What's next? Has Kubernetes peaked? And you know, the problem with peaking, especially when you get my age, you realize that, right?
it's inevitably
a hill down, right?
I think that it's more of an Intel inside moment, right?
Okay.
You know, Intel used to have their stickers on those laptops and you knew that was your chip inside your computer. I think we're going to get to that stage. At a certain point, we're not going to talk about it as much. It's just going to be a part of the mm-hmm. products and
But even
solutions.
Intel, and God bless them, we spoke with Arun and some of the Intel folks. They're big supporters here at open source. But, you know, there is AMD today, and God knows there's this little company, NVIDIA, and ARM.
Make sure that they're supported.
You know, it's not, I mean, I grew up in an Intel monopoly for chips.
Yeah.
Right.
All chips were Intel, or virtually. But
CPUs, for sure. Yeah.
No pun intended. But, you know, is there, the issue is, though, I don't see anything on the horizon that replaces Kubernetes.
No.
Or even competes with Kubernetes. I mean, there's the guys over here running Dapper.
Yeah.
And you can't see it because, unfortunately, I can't turn our cameras this way.
But just lean left.
We can lean. But, you know, Dapper was something that was out there before.
Yeah.
But you don't really see it much in the market. The guys over at Rancher, which is SUSE, they at one time were looking to kind of do an alternate to Kube.
Well, they do their lightweight, right?
Well, they do lightweight K3 and stuff, but no, they had a Kube alternate and they abandoned that, right? The original Rancher OS had their own orchestrator.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't talk about having a replacement for Kube when you can't even point to one. It's mythical.
Maybe it isn't a replacement. Maybe you talked about the Linux moment.
Yeah.
Maybe it is the Linux of that layer and it's just going to be there.
That's actually what I think. I don't think I think there was a little bit of competition as people were figuring out how to do containers. But now I think there's sort of, this is the car we're driving.
It's part of the stack.
Exactly. It's part of the solution.
Interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Kube, as far as the eye can see.
Kube ahoy.
Yep. Is that what you see off the deck of your yacht?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I wish I was there now.
Dock, yes.
Kube
ahoy.
All right. We're live in Paris for Tech Strong Gang. We'll be back in a moment. All right, back here at Tech Strong Gang, we've got Mitch Ashley, we've got Savannah Peterson. We're talking KubeCon wrap up. Who came up with the name Open Tofu?
You know, I had the exact same thought when I walked by their booth.
Like, wasn't a branding kind of thing, I'm assuming, no?
People who eat tofu came up with
Open Tofu. Do you think they're all vegetarians?
I think so.
Really? You think that's what it is?
I don't know, whatever theory.
Yeah, no, I it's funny you brought it up. I had the exact same thought.
They didn't call it open beefsteak, so, you know, what is it?
Open lobster.
Open lobsters, you know.
I mean, you know what?
Yeah, yeah.
So, hey, note. We should grab the people behind the Open Tofu Project, like the maintainers. Maybe there's
a
story there.
There must be.
Maybe it's supposed to be like a meat alternative.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, but
meat substitute. Right?
But there's a sustainability play. Who knows?
I mean, it's not the name I would have picked for it. But in any event, it's here and it's real.
Yes.
And it's kind of revitalized infrastructure as code. Infrastructure as code. I thought that had its moment in the sun, right? When we had Puppet and Chef and Ansible and these kind of things and Terraform.
Exactly.
But I thought those had become woodwork kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like just. But no, Open Tofu has given it a jolt of dare I say, excitement, right?
About tofu.
You dare.
Yeah,
you go
I dare.
For it, Alan. We validate
you. Oh, dare.
Yeah.
So it's there. What's going to be interesting is at the same time this week, we saw a bunch of reports that HashiCorp has been, well, first of all, Mitchell's left as of December, and that they've engaged a banker to potentially sell the business. Of course, at the last KubeCon, the big news was they had changed their licensing.
Right.
And which kind of gave rise to the whole Open Tofu thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, nature abhors a vacuum, and I think there was an opportunity there. And go figure, we filled it with tofu. But
Of all things.
But that's not the only innovation we've seen here on infrastructure as code. I've seen one company, they call it generative infrastructure as code, like AI.
Right.
You know, making it easier to do. There's another company just, you know, a few booths down from us here.
We're all neighbors now here in
Paris. Yeah, I get it.
We live here. This is a part of our lifestyle.
It's a community.
Those are just our neighbors.
The buildings,
it's cool.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I'll look back and see their name. Spacelift. Okay, Spacelift. Also an infrastructure as code play with a little bit of an AI twist and some other stuff.
I really found that interesting about their story is basically, well, two things. One is how do you scale infrastructure as code? And think about software code and how do you manage that on so many variations,
Great point. Yeah, yeah.
Think about the same for the infrastructure as code layer and the ability to have kind of one place to manage that, policies, security, all of that kind of thing. I thought
That's single pane of glass. Yeah.
Exactly. And then the other thing, interesting thing, and I don't know if they're addressing this yet, is where does that fit into the DevOps workflow pipeline, right?
Because that's a great question.
You know, versions of that, window application dependencies, and infrastructure code dependencies, and all of that. It speaks right to the GitOps, right, that we've talked about for a long time. But that doesn't solve it all, just putting it into the repository. So some interesting problems, I think, still to solve, challenges for today.
Yeah, well, I you know, to me, that's infrastructure as code at scale.
At scale.
Yeah.
And that's really, maybe that's the...
I think that's the next moment. When you're talking about that little hype blip that happened before, I think it was a marker of, you know, letting us know that this is where the market was going. But I feel like now, to your point, it's vital. It's a part
Absolutely.
Of the deal.
I get it. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, not just from one KubeCon to the next, but in the market.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see how it goes. And again, I think if it's successful, it'll fade back into the woodwork.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, become part of the fabric.
Yeah, it won't be such a topic. It'll just be how things are done. Mm-hmm.
I think we'll also have to see, I think this So let me just say up front, right? I was a big fan of Mitchell, right? Mitchell Hashimoto, I don't know how much you know or how well you know Mitchell.
Not as well as you do, I would suspect.
So Mitchell Hashimoto started HashiCorp, I think he was 18 years old. I mean, he was a kid.
Yeah.
And they basically built $2 or $3 billion product lines.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Terraform being one.
Gauntlet, Vault.
Vault.
A whole bunch of stuff.
And there was the first one, not Viper.
No, it's the environment. I know what you're talking about.
It's a security related one. It's whatever. He built at least $3 billion product lines there.
It's amazing.
Fantastic. Now he's out. And Mitch, you and Mitchell and I have been in venture-backed startups probably as long as you've been alive, I'm afraid to say, you know, 30 years.
That rock
years.
Has rolled down a few
yeah.
hills.
Yeah.
As they
way.
Say. You know, when the founder leaves, it's a very precarious time. You know, who's going to be the...
You need different talent.
It's a cultural moment. It's a product moment.
Yeah, it is.
And a business moment.
And a leadership
absolutely.
Moment,
right?
Exactly.
And at the same time, it's a public entity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Public company. So I think that's going to be a great story to watch, too, because Terraform, look, Open Tofu's great. They forked Terraform.
Right.
I'm reminded, you know, Mitchell and I were in the security game back in 2004, I think it was, 2003. Ron Guler and Renaud Dreissen over at Tenable, close source Nessus, well, from 2.7 on, right? Mm-hmm. And said, hey, it's still free, but it's no longer open source. And everyone said, oh, that's the death knell. What a stupid move by them.
Yeah.
It's going to be the end of Nessus. Well, I'm friends with Ron. He's done pretty well
for
himself.
He's done all right for himself.
Yeah. Not too shabby.
So, yeah. No. You know, and so they were wrong, right? It turned out that not being open source wasn't important. It may very well be the case with Terraform.
Could
that
be.
This is a...
It's a great point.
A fireworks moment for the Tofu gang.
Red Hat Linux hasn't gone away, and they've changed their models. So
yeah.
Exactly.
You know. So I think that'll be interesting to see, too. Is Terraform remain dominant, or does Open Tofu continue that momentum into this whole infrastructure as code?
Hopefully we can talk about it in Salt Lake. We'll see.
We're going to need something to talk about in Salt Lake.
I'm sure we'll find something.
Because there's not going to be nice restaurants with wine like there is here.
I know.
Anyway... Maybe we should just keep KubeCon in Paris every
I'm
year.
I'm all for that.
I 100% agree
the
with
next
this.
Next 3 to 5
That would be
CNCF,
that would be
if you're listening.
If do it.
We are here for it.
Buy
also, is this the most times
now.
You've said tofu in a broadcast before?
Absolutely.
Yes.
We should we can't because it's morning here. But I was going to say, we should be doing shots every time we say tofu.
It's drink at home.
Woo,
it's, you know, bars are closing at home, so we can still do it.
Yeah, it's late at home.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong about that.
All right, hey, we're gonna take our tofu. We'll be back in a second on Tech Strong Gang. Hey, we're back here, Paris, Tech Strong Gang, talking tofu. Infrastructure is code.
Exactly the food that people would talk about in Paris is tofu.
You don't come to Paris for the tofu. But no, seriously, our next block, our next topic for Gang today is, what is our next topic for Gang today? It's the Open Telemetry Project.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, Open Telemetry is the second largest of the 180 projects in CNCF.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and if you're counting
lots
at home,
of contributors.
It's Kubernetes, Open Telemetry. You know who number three is?
I don't.
Argo.
Oh, Argo.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Oh, that makes sense.
Argo.
We should have known that.
I know.
Coming up with a bullet.
I was
bullet.
Holding that in my back pocket.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
we just wanted Alan to look good.
You wanted it to be Open Tofu. I know.
Did,
drink
yes.
up.
Yeah. Next,
all right.
An insult. That'll be changed by then.
But Open Telemetry is huge. It has literally an army of contributors.
Truly.
And not only that, it has that along with Prometheus, which is probably in the top five as well, have become the de facto foundation of an entire ecosystem.
Yes.
There are very few observability vendors today who aren't on that Open Telemetry.
Very few.
Yeah.
The ones that are probably stuck in monitoring, right?
They don't call themselves.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you think about it, that is the ultimate open source model, right? For a foundation.
Totally.
We are going to lay the foundation. We're going to lift all the boats. And then people compete from there. You know, we're giving you this base. go forth and multiply, right? Go do your thing from there. And we're seeing a ton of innovation, but all built on that base.
Well, you know, to the model, and it's sort of the ideal open source project because the contributors all recognize that's not our value. What we do on top of that is.
Yeah.
And they kind of did that again in a smaller way because a bunch of different vendors were doing this profiling capability, right?
That's a great point.
How do you tune? How do you know what your performance characteristics are going to be of your app, of your stack? And they said, why are we all 9 or 10 of us doing this? Let's set that back into OTEL and then add our analytics on top of it. So they're continuing that model, recognizing there's more opportunities to say, we're not going to differentiate there. We're going to differentiate what we do with that data.
Yeah. No, I think, and it's having a moment. We were talking a lot about it in Amsterdam a year ago.
Yes.
Very hot topic. But I feel, to your point, I mean, we're at an adoption peak with some of these things where it is becoming ubiquitous, just like Kubernetes to a degree.
Well, and I think it almost is the end. So, again, having done KubeCons for a long time now, almost 9 years, I bet. Not counting COVID, but you know, it used to be these events were very dev-centric.
And very Kubernetes-only centric, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Amsterdam last year was the first time where I really looked around and said, you know what? It's about ops. And it was open telemetry and observability that I think was really kind of leading that charge. Mm-hmm. I think open telemetry is the engine or the locomotive pulling the train.
Ooh, I like this analogy.
You like that one,
huh? I like that, yeah.
Painting the picture.
No, this there is good. We go.
You know, the locomotive pulling the train of ops and observability within this whole ecosystem. Right? Because without it, you don't have that. You'd just be doing devs.
You have one of the leaders, Splunk, whose acquisition just got closed.
Right.
And
Cisco.
And, yeah. Cisco.
Big
know,
little
already successful
there.
In observability, now a big acquisition. So, you know, they haven't gone wrong by going OTEL.
No, look, there are, so Splunk is obviously a heavyweight, but Grafana is down the block here.
I was going to bring Lux, up Grafana,
yeah. they're all, I mean, there's some.
There's some players.
There are players in here. New Relic is using it now.
Absolutely.
And they're from, you know, New Relic is from the old guard, the APM days, right?
Yeah.
The community around OpenTelemetry is really impressive, too. I mean, those contributors, everyone's so excited. There's going to be maintainers there, so I feel like there's a lot of trust in that project as well.
There absolutely is. There's, what was the company ServiceNow bought?
Lightstep.
Yeah. I mean, they're all in, because they were kind of the, you know, the initiators.
The new
project.
Some distributed tracing capabilities. And
yeah, they put tracing in. It's interesting stuff. It bodes well. I said in half just before about the 180 projects in CNCF, and they're not done, right? We interviewed Arun Gupta.
Yeah,
and he's the chairman, of course, of CNCF. You can catch that out. You can catch that interview. But he said, you know, their philosophy is let as many flowers bloom. And I have a runny nose here, but
are your allergies responding?
I don't
to
know
flowers?
What it. Yeah,
is
must
that, is that
let
what
a
happen?
Million flowers.
It is springtime in Paris.
Yeah, exactly. So, but is it CNCF 250? Is it CNCF 500? Is it CNCF 1,000?
I don't know.
Right?
I've been wondering about this too. Yeah.
Is there a limit where it's too many projects, and so you'll have open telemetry, which is going to suck a lot of oxygen.
A monolith to a degree, yeah.
Versus, I don't want to say tofu again. Versus another one, you know, another project that maybe doesn't get enough oxygen. That's something to think about too.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's a successful model.
Yes, it is.
Can it succeed at the next level of scale? Kind of the same question.
And
about
doesn't
Kubernetes
need to,
and
or
everything
is
else.
It Excuse is it meant to be this size? Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
Well, but. To your point on that, Savannah, look at like CDF.
Yeah.
Right? The CDF, and we do a video series for them every month called CD Pipelines.
Oh, nice. Fun.
And, you know, we do our best to support the CDF.
Yeah.
But they're having, I mean, quite frankly, they have a hard time.
Yeah.
They have a hard time getting out from the shadow of CNCF. It happened even with OpenSSF.
I believe that. Yeah.
So
we had that conversation yesterday.
So does does the success of CNCF itself deprive the other daughter sister foundations of oxygen, right? And so that's why they keep putting more projects into CNCF than these other foundations, which only kind of, you know, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer, but also puts more strain on CNCF.
I wonder if, and maybe this is happening and I'm not aware of it, but one of the things OTEL also did really well was projects joining together, right?
Yeah.
Distributed tracing, et cetera, were different projects. And that combining things, I think, is part of that strength that they've had. So maybe maybe that's the model. It isn't just you want to become the next OTEL of CNCF. You've got to bring people with you in other projects and there's
combined
some
forces.
Things to combine.
I think that's actually a great point. Yeah, because I mean, you're looking at people independently choosing to contribute to these projects. This isn't, open source is a pretty wild thing when you think about the community in general.
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, stronger together, as long as it's all complementary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just collaborate.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see.
All right.
Well, we're stronger together at least. Thank you all.
Absolutely.
Always.
Let's wrap up here. It's been, all kidding aside, it has been an amazing KubeCon.
It really has.
Paris has been an amazing host city.
I would say insane KubeCon.
It's been
crazy.
The energy in here
the
has
buzz
just been
is back.
Awesome.
I haven't felt this since San Diego,
yeah,
which was right before COVID.
Yeah. Yep. No, we're back.
Yeah, we're definitely back. Paris
back,
has been
baby.
An amazing host
thank you,
of KubeCon.
Yeah,
thank you.
Your help doing that.
Did you imagine what it's going to be like for the Olympics here in 3 months?
No, I don't want to. The cab, I'll tell you,
are
the cab drivers.
Back? Are we going to find a sponsor and do some coverage of the Olympics?
I was just going to say, if you could get me a sponsor,
you heard it first.
I'll wear your t-shirt, whatever you
need. That's all I can tell you. They're like, oh my God, I don't want to. What's it going to be like?
I mean, it is going to be madness.
Yeah.
It is going to be absolutely
fun. It's going to be fun.
Absolute delicious madness.
Paris in July for the Olympics.
Hashtag dreams.
Those grapes are ripening on the vine. anyway, hey, we hope you've enjoyed our special Textron gangs while we're here. Stay tuned. Well, by the time you're watching this, KubeCon will be over, but we've been streaming live all week as well. All of those live streamed videos are available up on techstrong.tv. Check them out. And thanks for joining in. Au revoir from Paris.
Good everybody.
Savannah, thank you.
Hey, thank you both.
We're out of here.
Cloud Native Now is the web's leading resource for the growing cloud native ecosystem. CloudNativeNow.com is your destination for news, thought leadership, features and webinars on cloud native architecture, Kubernetes, serverless, cloud native application development, microservices, service mesh, cloud native security, and more. Stay on the cutting edge of modern application development at Cloud Native Now.